Is there something you should do today that you're putting off till tomorrow? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
We assume that because the past has been all right, that the future is going to be all right, when the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And I am convinced that the sin of procrastination has blasted more dreams, blighted more hopes, wrecked more careers, ruined more lives, and damned more souls than perhaps any other sin in the Word of God.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, featuring the insightful teaching and lessons of Pastor Adrian Rogers. There are a few reasons people reject the gospel when they first hear it. Some may be rebellious. Others may be too self-righteous to recognize their need for a Savior. But perhaps the most common reason is procrastination. People will put it off, thinking that they'll have plenty of time to receive Christ later on. But Proverbs 27 reveals otherwise. If you have your Bible, turn there now, as Adrian Rogers warns of the perils of postponement.
I want to make something clear today, that God wants to give us grace, and God wants us to have a closer walk. And we have all of God we want. And if we don't have any more, it's because we don't want any more. Indeed, if we want grace and pray for it, we'll have it. If we want to trust Him, we shall. If we want a closer walk, we shall have it. Amen? All right, now take your Bibles and turn, if you will, please, to Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. We're in a continuing series on God's way to health, wealth, and wisdom taken from the book of Proverbs. I've told you before that a proverb is a short sentence based on long experience. That is a human proverb. Stitch in time saves nine. You think of so many proverbs, haste makes waste. Some of these proverbs are good, some of them are silly, some of them are absolutely contradictory. But those are human proverbs. Now, the proverbs in God's Word are not short sentences based on long experience. They are compacted truth given by divine inspiration. They are nuggets from the gold mine of God's Word. Some of the proverbs we're very much familiar with. The one today is one like that. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1. Now, I preach to many people, have preached to many people, and I've seen thousands and thousands and thousands of people come to the Lord Jesus Christ through the ministry of God's Word. But I hate to say it, but I must say it, I've seen thousands and thousands and thousands of people go away unsaved after I preach. They have not received the Lord Jesus Christ. There's been no change. They have heard the Word of God, and they've gone out unsaved. Some of them have died and gone to hell. Now, I have to ask myself, why do some people hear the gospel and not receive it? One reason, some people simply don't believe it. Or if they do believe it, they still have such a rebellion toward God that they stand and shake their puny fist in the face of God, as it were, boldly, braggingly, brazenly, and say, "Oh God, if there be a God, you're not big enough to make me serve you." There's another category of persons that hear the gospel and go out unsaved. And these are self-righteous people. These are not out-and-out sinners, nor are they unbelievers. They believe in their head the gospel. They know they need to be saved, but they think they already are saved because of their good works. They're church members. They have nice morals. They have nice manners. They dress nicely. They live in fine homes. They attend the services. They do good deeds. They don't think they need to be saved. They think that the gospel is for the murderer, the pervert, the drunk, the down-and-out. They think that they are too good to be damned. Friend, listen, I've said it before, I want to say it again. There is nobody so bad he cannot be saved. There's no one so good he need not be saved. And there's so many, however, who are going to be lost because of their self-righteous attitude. They never repent of their sin. They never receive Christ as their personal Savior. But I'm going to tell you why I believe most people hear me or any other gospel preacher preach and then go out and are lost. Not because they rebel against God or disbelieve, not because they're self-righteous. I believe far and away the majority of people who hear the gospel message and go out unsaved and remain unsaved are lost because of procrastination. Procrastination. They believe the gospel, and neither are they self-righteous. They know that they need to be saved, and they say, one of these days, I'm going to get saved, but they keep putting it off. Why? Well, they got by yesterday without Jesus, and they got by the day before without Jesus, and the day before that, and the day before that, and so they assume that tomorrow will be like yesterday. I heard of a man who jumped off a 20-story building, and as he passed each floor, he said, it's okay so far, it's okay so far, it's okay so far. We assume that because the past has been all right, that the future is going to be all right, when the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And I am convinced that the sin of procrastination has blasted more dreams, blighted more hopes, wrecked more careers, ruined more lives, and damned more souls than perhaps any other sin in the Word of God. And our text today says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Three words come to me as I look at this verse. The very first word is the word arrogance. The second is the word ignorance. And the third is the word vigilance. Now, first of all, look at the word arrogance. There's an arrogant attitude here. Here's a man who's boasting. He boasts of tomorrow. He has some idea that he's got everything in control. He's quite arrogant. He doesn't see his need of getting right with God. Over in the New Testament, in the book of James, the fourth chapter, I want you to turn to that, because it seems to me as though old brother James has almost been using the book of Proverbs for a text for his sermon. Seems like he's preaching a sermon the same as I am on this text. Look in it in James chapter 4, verse 13. James is speaking to the boastful businessman. Actually, James has in mind a first century wheeler dealer. Here's a real entrepreneur, a boastful businessman, and James says to him in James chapter 4 and verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. You rejoice in your boastings. What was this man boasting about? He was boasting about tomorrow. What does our text say? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. He was a man who thought he had it all together. I mean, this was a fellow who didn't leave things to chance. First of all, he has his calendar on his desk. He says, I'll continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. He's marked it out. He knows what the next 365 days are going to be. You can just see him as he studies the calendar. Not only does he have his calendar on his desk, he has his map on his desk. He's been looking over the place, and he says, now where would be a good place for me to open a new branch outlet? He says, I know what I'll do. I'll go to such a city. That's the city. He puts the pin in the map. He says, the demographics are perfect. That's where I can do it. And not only does he have his calendar there, and not only does he have his map there, he also has his sales charts there. He has it all figured out. He says, I'm going to buy, I'm going to sell, I'm going to get gain. He knows how he's going to get his commodities. He knows how he's going to sell his commodities. He's been looking at the profit and the loss. Listen, he has a degree in marketing from the University of Jerusalem. He's got it all figured out. He knows exactly how it's going to happen. He has it all figured out. But James says, what he ought to say is this, if the Lord wills, he'll live and do this or that. Now, what was wrong with what this man did? There's nothing wrong with planning. I mean, if you're a businessman, you ought to do everything that he did. This man is not condemned for what he did. He's condemned for what he didn't do. You see, there's no mention of God in this passage. He left God out. I mean, he's planning his life. He's boastful about what he's going to do. And James says that all such boasting is evil. He left God out. The biggest fool is not the man who says there is no God. The biggest fool is the man who says there is a God and then doesn't live like it. Amen? He's a bigger fool. I don't have anything in the Bible that says this man was an infidel, an atheist. He just simply is planning his life without God. He's boasting about what he's going to do. I'm going to buy and sell, continue their year. I'm going to get gain. But he doesn't know, for God says, listen, sir, what is your life? It's like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. It's like your breath on a frosty morning, and it's gone. God doesn't have to take your life. All he has to do is stop giving it. What you need to say is, if the Lord will, I'm going to live or do this or that. So the very first word we see is the word arrogance. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. And then the second word we see is the word ignorance. For thou knowest not. Thou knowest not. You're ignorant. You don't know what is going to be on the morrow. Now, most of us think we know what's going to be on the morrow, but ladies and gentlemen, we do not know what tomorrow holds. Only God knows the future and how ignorant we are to assume upon tomorrow. I want to give you four reasons why no one who's unsaved should go past today without Jesus. Are you listening? Number one, you will lose today. You will lose today if you don't give your heart to Jesus today. No, we say, get right with God, you may die. Friend, get right with God, you may live. And you can live with the Lord Jesus Christ. And a day lived without the Lord Jesus is a day that is lost for all eternity. One of these days, dear friend, not only are we going to be saved by His grace, but we're going to be rewarded according to our works. If you are saved at your deathbed, you're going to have no life of reward. You're going to have no life to offer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely you can be saved on your deathbed. Some are, not many, some. But Billy Sunday said that deathbed repentance is like burning the candle of life for the devil and then blowing the smoke in God's face. Oh, listen, you may live. Don't fail to give your heart to Jesus today, because if you do, you'll lose today. God is my witness. God is my witness. Are you listening? I would not go without Jesus Christ 24 hours for $1 million. Or for that matter, anything you could name. Not 24 hours. I would not. I would not. Why would I miss a day of not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would I betray my Lord for 24 hours? Oh, my dear friend, you will lose today if you put it off. Turn to Acts chapter 24. Let me show you something here. Acts chapter 24. There's the story of old Paul. Now, Paul was before a Roman official. His name was Felix. Acts chapter 24 and verse 24. Let me just give you the setting. Paul had been preaching the gospel, and he found out that he was thrown in jail for preaching the gospel. When Paul would go to a revival crusade, he never did check on the hotels. He always checked on the jails, because he knew that's about where he's going to end up. Paul was in jail for preaching the gospel, and now he comes before a political high muckety-muck, and this guy has the ability to release Paul. Now, if you and I were there to coach Paul, we'd have said, now, Paul, be on your best behavior. Paul, don't do anything to irritate this man. Paul, give him a little philosophy. Tell him about your world travels, Paul. And Paul, perhaps, he'll release you. But I want you to notice what Paul did beginning in verse 24. Acts chapter 24 and verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he, that is Paul, reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. Do you see what he said? Go your way, and when it is convenient, I'm going to be saved. Yes, I am, but not now. Just for this time, just put it off a little bit. Paul preached to him a blazing, burning, blistering sermon. Paul didn't back up. Paul didn't equivocate. Paul spoke to him of righteousness and showed that righteousness was in Jesus Christ. Paul spoke to him of temperance. Here was a man covered with the slimy fingerprints of sin, and Drusilla was not his legitimate wife. Paul spoke to him of judgment to come. It's as though no longer is Paul before Felix. Felix is before Paul, and Paul is the prosecuting attorney. And Paul points his finger to the face of this Roman governor, and he tells him that one of these days, sir, you're going to face Almighty God. You'd better get right with God. And when he did, there was such conviction that Felix trembled. He is that close to being saved. But then the devil whispers something in his ear. He says, oh, that sounds good. Paul, you go your way. When it's more convenient, I'll call on you. Well, let me tell you, according to the Bible, he continued to listen to Paul for 24 months. But rather than getting closer, he got further and further away, and the story ends with Paul still in chains, but with Felix chained in his sin. And let me tell you, do you know what the name Felix means? It means happy. Do you know how he died? He died a suicide. Now you see, friend, not only did he go to hell, but he wasted his life. Here was a man so miserable that he ultimately died a suicide. Why should I not have the joy of knowing Jesus now? Why should I not have the peace of knowing Jesus now? Why should I not have the fulfillment of knowing Jesus now? Why should I not have the love of knowing Jesus now? Why should I not have a God that I can pray to now? Why should I wait to be saved? That's the question you ought to be asking yourself. Friend, why put it off till tomorrow? Being saved is not like taking bad medicine in order to get well. The Lord thy God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. If it'll make you healthy, happy, holy, wholesome, God says help yourself. God loves you, and he desires to bless you. I want to say again, I'd be a Christian if there were no heaven, just to know Jesus Christ in this world and in this life. Second reason, that you ought not to postpone this thing. You ought not to postpone it because every day that you do postpone it, your heart gets harder. And it will be harder for you tomorrow to receive Jesus than it will be today. Tomorrow, if tomorrow comes, you'll only have more sin to repent of, less time to repent in, and it will be harder for you to repent. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7, today, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now listen, the Holy Spirit is speaking, not Adrian. The Holy Spirit, he's speaking to you. The Holy Spirit is saying to you through the Word of God and through this preacher, today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. Your heart can get hard. It becomes more difficult for you to be saved. Did you know that anything you do, you tend to get better at? The more you do it. The more you play golf, the better you're supposed to get. Of course, I understand that theory's been ruined. The more you play tennis, the more you sing. You see, practice makes perfect. The more you refuse Jesus, the better you get at refusing Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? The more you deny Christ, the better you get at denying Christ. You become a pro at rejecting Jesus. I am speaking to some professionals today. Some of you have heard so many sermons, you have become gospel hardened. The Bible says today, if you'll hear God's voice, don't you harden your heart. Let me illustrate. Out here in the woods, perhaps a woodsman cuts down a pine tree, and there's that pine stump covered with rosin and turpentine. And if a forest fire comes and begins to burn through the forest and all the underbrush, when the fire comes to that stump will catch fire because it's just so covered with fat and tar and rosin. And that stump will burn, it will blaze brightly, and it will burn for a long time, but then eventually the fire will go out and the stump will be charred. Now, in several years, after the brush grows up again, and perhaps there's another fire, when the fire comes to that stump, this time the stump may catch fire, but it will not burn as long, nor will it burn as brightly, and then it'll go out. Now, there may even come a third time, and if the heat is very intense, and after several years, there's another fire. When the fire gets to that old stump, it may just flicker. It may just glow. And then the fire will go out, right? But there'll come a time when the winds will be driving the flames and they will be roaring and crackling. And when the fire comes to that old stump, it'll just jump over. That stump will not even glow. It will not even flicker. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a parable of the human soul. Do you remember the first time you heard the gospel? I'm talking to those of you who are unsaved. Listen to me. Do you remember the first time you heard a gospel preacher stand up and tear his heart out and beg you to be saved? When he preached about Jesus dying in agony and blood upon the cross? When he talked of the glories of heaven, the agonies of hell? When he, with tears coursing down his cheeks, said, come to Jesus Christ, and there was a fire that started to burn in your heart? You said, oh, I need God. I need to be saved. I need to be right with God. But somehow you managed to say no to Jesus Christ and the fire went out. And your heart was seared, burned over. The next time you were in a service when God's Holy Spirit was moving like that, perhaps your heart flickered and flamed and it burned, but not so brightly and not so long, and the fire went out more easily when you said no to Jesus. It may be that there's some who are listening to me today, and when you hear this gospel message, all you'll feel this time will be just a glow, just a flicker, that's all. Just an ember, that's all, and I thank God that ember is still there. But some of you are saying, oh yeah, I've heard this stuff before. I know what he's about to say. Boy, it was a good ball game last night. I can't wait to get home to dinner today. And your mind is gathering wool because you've heard this. You've heard this. And your heart is not burning. I feel sorry for you. You're almost in hell and don't know it. You say, preachers don't preach like they used to when I was a boy. Some of them do. You just don't hear like you used to when you were a boy. God's Word says today, if you will hear God's voice, harden not your heart. The Bible speaks in the Gospel of John of some who would not believe, and then the Bible says, and therefore they could not believe. How tragic that is when your heart gets hard. You see, that's the reason so many people are saved when they're children, because the children's hearts are so tender. What am I saying? I'm saying, dear friend, that when a person hears the gospel of Jesus Christ and he says no one time, it makes it easier to say no the next and the next, and the devil is very clever. Let me give you another reason that you ought to be saved today. Not only because if you don't, you'll lose today. Not only because there's the danger of hardening your heart, but you ought to be saved today because there's the danger of sudden death. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you may die today. You may not see tomorrow. Death is only a heartbeat away. That's all, just a heartbeat away. People talk about being close to death. Oh, I was in an accident. I was close to death. I was sick. I was close to death. I was on the battlefield. I was close to death. No, you weren't. You didn't die. You're closer to death right now than you've ever been. Right this moment, you're closer to death than you have ever been.
A sobering way to end today's lesson from Adrian Rogers. And coming up Monday, we'll hear part two of this important lesson. But maybe today you have questions about who Jesus is or what he means to you. I want to urge you to not put that off. Don't postpone it. Go to our Find God's Love page at lwf.org/radio. You'll find resources and materials that will answer questions you may have about placing your faith in Jesus. Don't wait until tomorrow to confirm that relationship. He is ready for you right now. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message in its entirety, you can call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. Mention the title, The Perils of Postponement. This message is also part of the insightful series, A Word to the Wise. For the complete six-message collection, call 877-LOVE-GOD, or you can order online at lwf.org/radio, or write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. You may not know you can also purchase our new Bible studies, much like this message, in our online store. For information, just go to the website, lwf.org/radio. We're so glad you joined us for today's study in God's Word. Be sure to sign up for our daily Heartbeat emails. You'll get daily devotions and message links sent straight to your inbox. You can do that at the website. Again, lwf.org/radio. And join us Monday for the convicting conclusion of The Perils of Postponement, right here on Love Worth Finding. One of our donors reached out recently and said this, "Thank you for all your resources, especially your daily devotionals. Adrian Rogers was so instrumental to me in my early walk, and our Almighty Father continues to use him in powerful ways. Bless each of you at Love Worth Finding." Thank you so much for that encouragement. We are so honored to continue sharing timeless messages and cultivating new resources to help you grow deeper in your faith. That's why when you donate right now, we want to thank you by sending a copy of the journal, Tapestry, Promises and Prophecies. This book explores the meaning and symbolism of the book of Revelation using Dr. Rogers' five-step process for examining God's Word. Request a copy of the journal Tapestry, Promises, and Prophecy when you call us with a gift right now. 1-877-LOVE-GOD is our number. or give online at lwf.org/radio.